Good morning. You are listening to the Emotionally Intelligent Leader, and I am your host, Dr. B. I am so excited to talk about innovation. Innovative leaders. What are they? And how do I develop myself into an innovative leader? Before I start, I actually have a very interesting quote from Elon Musk. The quote says, "There's a tremendous bias against taking risk. Everyone is trying to optimize their ass covering." And I think this is pretty hilarious, one, but it's true that most organizations don't really promote taking risks at all. Actually, they promote just following the processes and the procedures that they implemented when the organization first started. And there could be some pros and cons to this approach. The pro is that you don't have to keep constantly explaining what employees should do when they could just take a look at their job description and everything is outlined neatly for them, and they could just refer to that. So that would save you some time. But a tremendous con is that you're not developing those capacities that would thrive in a resilient and innovative environment, because you're making people reliant on one person. Teaching people how to take risks and the fact that they should be taking risk is such a valuable concept that the 21st century workplace truly needs. When you teach people how to take risks and experiment with different approaches, you're actually teaching them how to thrive within change. And we all know that change is extremely complex to implement without some sort of emotional challenges. And that leads us to innovation. So what exactly is an innovative leader? According to Dr. Stein, an innovative leader works from a place of passion. People can feel their passion resonating from their bodies, and it's a passion towards achieving the ultimate vision for their lives. Vision is incredibly important for innovative leaders. They have a knack for connecting the vision of the organization and the goals of the employees. This makes achieving those goals much more satisfying. Another notable characteristic is they have a knack for making things that are very complex, very simple for people to understand. The best example of this is Steve Jobs. He was a master at taking extremely complex concepts and making them so easy to understand that he was able to influence a whole crowd of people. And he is quoted for saying the following: "It takes a lot of hard work to make something simple, to truly understand the underlying challenges and come up with elegant solutions. Simplicity is the ultimate sophistication." And this is absolutely true in leadership. If you're struggling with this concept of making incredibly complex things simple for people to understand, I think the easiest recommendation is to become good at telling stories. This is the best way to connect to the emotions and passion of people that you're trying to influence. Luckily for you, I have been taking a course on storytelling, and they gave just a simple checklist of characteristics that make up extremely compelling stories. The first thing you want to do is figure out, why am I here and what message am I trying to communicate? Once you figure out the message that you're trying to communicate, and that's when you can determine which story you could use to be the most effective to get that message across. Every great story has characters that have an actual name. And the reason why this is important is because if we can imagine a character in our minds that has a name, then we can start personalizing and empathizing with that character. We start feeling those feelings that they felt during their challenges or during any issues they had to overcome. We start personalizing our own challenges with the story that we're hearing. Another great tip is to describe your setting. When people start imagining a story, they need characters and a setting. When you're telling your story, you have to set it up in a way to where there's conflict. People love conflict. It's a way to dramatize things, and it puts us in a state of anticipation. We start wondering, ooh, what's going to happen next? And it's best to explain the emotional aspect of your story. What exactly did the character go through emotionally, and how did they overcome these feelings? I am going to outline an email from one of the listeners and provide some suggestions that could help them. This story is about a CEO named Tom, and Tom was a founder of a small IT firm that provided remote troubleshooting and cybersecurity services to clients. Tom was doing very well in driving clients into the IT firm, but he struggled to maintain motivation among his staff. The office had two different departments, which consisted of sales and IT support. The sales teams were a group responsible for client management and upselling services. The IT support had several types of engineers that could provide technical support to clients. Although Tom meant well, he favored IT support since they drove most of the business. This resulted in silo wars between the sales and IT support departments. Morale was shot, and this resulted in high turnover. The frequent conflict also resulted in low customer service because tickets were not being resolved quickly due to the internal war between IT and sales. Tom tried team building exercises and weekly meetings involving both departments, but any attempt to resolve the friction was met with resistance. Eventually, Tom contracted a consultant to help resolve the internal battles between departments. An innovative leader consists of six different EQ skills: self-actualization, independence, problem-solving, assertiveness, flexibility, and optimism. Tom scored low on the EQ skill, self-actualization. Although Tom was a great natural salesman, he didn't have a unified vision for himself or his IT firm. Therefore, the first recommendation would consist of developing a personal vision statement for his life. Then have the firm create a new strategic plan, including a new mission, vision, and value statement, and to be sure to include both departments during the development. A new strategic plan can create a shared purpose for both departments, which could result in unity and collaboration. Tom scored below average on independence. Having too much independence can actually hurt buy-in from teams. Feedback can actually help alleviate this issue of having too much independence. So another suggestion is to seek and actually listen to feedback from employees. You should find answers to questions such as, do you have a decision-making process? If so, what does it look like? When you seek counsel for an issue, who do you usually go to? Do you take that person's advice or come to your conclusion on your own? Answering these questions can actually help you determine what your process looks like for making decisions. If you find that it's not very effective, then what you could do is update it with something that is more objective. In terms of problem solving, innovative leaders are masters of considering several perspectives without being overtaken by their emotions, which leads to more solutions. So Tom actually scored low on problem solving, which highlights his inability to connect the sales and IT departments. Since Tom is too quick to jump into problem solving, a suggestion would be to assign two directors to be a sounding board for your problem-solving process. What this entails is basically describing your interpretation of the problem to both of the people as clearly as possible. They would ask you questions, and if you find that you can't answer a question, then that means you need to seek more clarity before coming to a decision. It takes a great amount of assertiveness to be considered an innovative leader. This is because your ideas may not be accepted outright, but your persuasiveness would ultimately influence people to be on board with your idea. Tom actually scored average in assertiveness. Since he's adept at sales, he also has a healthy baseline of assertiveness. Unfortunately, he doesn't know how to apply assertiveness while trying to get buy-in from both departments. It was identified that Tom has an issue with taking the initiative after asserting his position. A strategy consists of taking the initiative to start the team's movement until the task is completed. A director can be assigned to be a sounding board during this process. Innovative leaders must remain flexible in their thinking, feelings, and interactions during change. This flexibility actually inspires adaptive thinking while continuously learning from potential risks that emerge. Tom scored about average in flexibility, but he has problems applying this EQ skill to his convictions. In other words, the IT department easily influences his opinions. A strategy in this case would consist of completely redesigning your core beliefs and values. And when your core beliefs and values are identified, you should embody your leadership style to your core strategies. Lastly, optimism. Optimism is remaining positive despite failures, and this is the cornerstone of innovation. If you can't have a positive attitude after you made a mistake or failed, then it's very unlikely that you are going to continue experimenting with alternative solutions. Surprisingly, Tom scored exceptionally high in optimism. That was the six EQ skills of successful innovative leaders. It includes self-actualization, independence, problem-solving, assertiveness, flexibility, and optimism. I hope you guys are having an amazing week. It was a pleasure catching you up on the last EQ leadership skill, innovation. And if you need a refresher for authenticity, coaching, insight, I have podcasts on all three. Feel free to go back and re-listen so that way you can understand the four characteristics that make an emotionally intelligent leader. And I shall repeat, it is authentic, innovative, coaching, and insight. Thanks for tuning in today, and I will update you on Friday to whatever topic I think of, or if you have any recommendations, please email me. My email is listed in my description. And remember, we all have the power to change the world, but we must first change ourselves.